Welcome everyone again from all around the world. I believe that the earth is being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. I'm dealing on bold as a lion, part two. We are still on the qualities or the characteristics of the lion. Can have a little more of the feedbacks here. If Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, then the lion and the lion quality is something to possess. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He prevailed. So the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 5. If we are to prevail in life, if we are to prevail in life's assignment, if we are to prevail in divine purpose, if we are to prevail and reach where God wants us to reach, then we don't have any alternative but to be lionic. To be lionized. If he said the righteous are bold as a lion, which means righteousness is synonymous with lionic operation. Holiness is not cowardice. Righteousness is not timidity. The lioness people on the earth are the righteous. The most lionic people that should ever exist are the righteous, the godly, the holy. We don't move about saying we are holy, we are righteous, we are godly, so we allow the devil to throw everything in our face. Yesterday we began and we looked at the lion. They are animals of royalty, of authority, of rulership, of dominion. We saw that yesterday. They don't move about beggarly. They are in royalty. They are in authority. They are in rulership. They are in dominion. Number two, we saw that lions are territorial commanders. Lions are territorial. They command territories. They command domains of influence. They occupy. They hold ground. Like he said, occupy till I come. They hold the ground. The enemy does not claim the ignorance of their territorial command. And thirdly, we saw that lions are never prey. They are predators. The lion is not the one on the run for anything. Things are on the run from the lion. The lion is not the pursued. The lion is the pursuer. The lion is not the intimidated. The lion is the intimidator of the forces of hell. We looked at all of that yesterday. And there is a dimension we are shifting to this morning, which is number four. That lions are restful. It sounds contradictory, but lions are restful. In Genesis chapter 49 and in verse 9, the Bible said, Judah is a lion's whelp from the pre, my son. thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched. He's in a restful position. As an old lion, who shall rouse him up? What is the meaning of this to you? Lions are strangers to agitation. They are restful. They are calm. They are unagitated. They are undaunting. They have zero worry, zero worry, zero anxiety, zero fear, zero worry, zero anxiety, zero fear. They exude a high level of confidence, a high level of confidence and calmness. You have heard of the confident strides of a lion, the confident walking steps of a lion, the confident strides of a lioness, which is not cowardice, just confidence, confident strides. The lion cannot be affrighted by a noose. No danger is danger enough for the lion. It lives in the midst of danger. It is at home in danger. It is at rest in danger. It is at peace in danger. It is unperturbed in danger. It is unruffled in the midst of danger. It is unagitated in the midst of danger. No news disturbs the rest of the lion. It doesn't imagine any form of threat. It cannot imagine any form of danger. That is the lion. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Both myself and my father in the Lord, we have encountered a couple of times dangerous men with weapons. That is face to face, for me like twice. Yes. My father in the Lord, he's one of the days, they went for a crusade somewhere, and in the morning, late in the middle of the night, some robbers invaded the hotel where they were staying. And one of his men said, criminals are here, robbers are here, killers are here. He said, let me see then. He opened the door with his hand in his pocket. He said, yes, what are you looking for? Before they could stutter, he said, in the name of Jesus. They scattered. They said, he has a gun. He has a gun. They scampered for safety. But what is it that makes a man put his hand in his pocket in the face of danger? That is lionization. Some criminals trailed us sometime from an airport all the way to a traffic holdup. And then pulled out their weapon. Came to the place where we wanted to open the door. And he went back like this. He tried to come again. Something moved them. He tried to come again. The vehicle went, pushed him away, and then went his way. When we went to the nearby police station to say this just happened, they said that it has been happening within the last 1 week, that they followed somebody from that same airport to his hotel and shot him dead. We need to come to the point. And I'll be talking about that later. There is something called the rest of faith. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, all the way to verse 10, there is a form of rest. He said, there remained therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as he did from his. There is that restfulness, that restfulness, that restfulness. That restfulness that says the devil is not in control. That restfulness that says the devil cannot have a final say. That restfulness that says everything is under control. It is such a restfulness. My wife and some of the people have brought me some news at times. They say so and so. I say, okay. So is that all you would say? I said, oh yeah, nothing beyond that. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. That was the kind of rest that the lion of the tribe of Judah had in Mark chapter 4 and in verse 36 to verse 38. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship. So that it was now full. Waves beat into the ship. Ship filled with water. But he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. How do you sleep inside water? And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That is the lionic rest. The ship is about to sink. It's filled with water. But here was this lion asleep. Many of us, you worry too much. You even worry. You worry. When there was nothing to worry about, you pulled it up. And it's very, very, very high in the village. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Have you reached? Are you on the way? How is your journey? Have you reached? You worry too. You are too anxious. There is nothing much that can be achieved in life without this rest of faith, without this lionic confidence, this lionic rest, that you are not at the mercy of authorities. If you are doing the will of God in Pagadia, the authorities of that land are helpless against you. You are not at the mercy of the conspiracy of witchcraft. You are not at the mercy of the conspiracy of killers and wicked men. You are not at their mercy. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? There remained a rest to the people of God. Part of the lionization is the restfulness, is the confidence, the confident strides that make things work effortlessly. During the construction of this sanctuary, an evangelist came. When he went around and saw all the things that were going around, he said, and with everything going on, you are so peaceful. You are so calm, so restful. No trace of stress. Pastor Godwin saw me some time back and said, sir, everything going on at the same time and happening everywhere, you are just so calm and restful. It appears like nothing is happening. There is a lionic rest that makes you smile at the sound of threat. That there is a lionic rest that makes you to decree that the devil that can carry out that particular threat has not been born. Some time ago, I think it was in the year of 2017, maybe some of our people remember,
At that time, it was a lot of terrorism and a lot of things. We went to the Eagle Square to hold a program of prayer. Our security officials arrested two people that came there with improvised explosive device to enter into the place and explode. They were both arrested and their device could not work. When they told me, I said, bomb doesn't bomb bomb. You remember, all of you? Do you understand what I'm talking about? They were arrested with devices of explosion. They were ready to enter the ground. In the name of Jesus, I speak to somebody here today. This rest of faith that our master had, this rest of faith, likete kapata, that Peter had, this confidence stride that makes you unperturbed, that makes the kingdom of darkness to worry, I declare its release upon you right now. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. You know what I mean to say? Take your seat. You are so restful until the kingdom of darkness is worried. You are so restful until wicked people are worried. What could be the secret of this man? What could be the secret of his confidence? What could be the secret of his authority? In Acts chapter 12 and in verse 6, Peter was about to be killed. James had been beheaded. It was the turn of Peter to be beheaded. And when Herod would, and he killed James, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And the light shone in the prison. And Peter woke up. Is that what he said? No. He smote him. He had to hit him on his side to raise him up. What kind of sleep is this? You don't understand what I'm talking about. Somebody is to be brought out the next day to be beheaded. He's aware that this is his last night on earth. He's aware of that. I sat in the prison briefly. And I've seen people sentenced to death executed. No sleep at night. No sleep. How? Their eyes are red like this rug before the execution. Here was Peter. Tomorrow you are going to be killed. Leg is bound. Chain to the chair. Angel arrived in the prison. He was not aware. Light shone in the prison. He was not aware. Most times when you are sleeping and they turn on the light, you wake up. Light shone in the prison. He was not aware. Angel had to smite him by the side before he stood up. What's going on here? Say, I came to rescue you. Your rest of faith has produced your result of faith. Hey! Hey! The rest of your faith has produced the result of your faith. I am here to announce to somebody, every spirit of tension, agitation, worry, and anxiety, I declare it broken right now. I declare it broken right now. I declare it broken right now. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Let your wife see rest. Let your ministers who work with you see rest. Let your family see rest. Let the devil see rest. Beloved, I came to a revelative, calculative conclusion. that when man starts resting, God starts walking. God walks most when man is at rest. When man is not struggle. When did God walk? When he put Adam to sleep. For as long as Adam was awake, there was nothing much God could do with him in terms of producing the Eve. But if Adam needed an Eve, he must go to rest so God can go to work. If Adam needed an Eve, he must go to rest so God can go to work. We have seen so much of the work of God in our lives and ministries. Some of you don't want to have an idea of what it cost to go for crusades. You don't want to have the idea. Even of the flight cost. The way we move. The flight cost. The way we move. We can't announce it. Otherwise the devil will have convulsion. Last year's crusade had passed before I was shown the bill. This is the bill of what it cost. I won't mention the bill. Just to go. Do you understand? No scratch. No scratch. No agitation, no tension. Because it is your rest. Before he could multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he said, sit down. Make the men sit down. Tell them to sit down. Their stand is giving me too much stress. Their agitation is frustrating the manifestation. Cause the men to sit down. Cause the men to sit down. Cause the men to sit down. If they want me to do anything, let them sit down. We are 10 days to this sanctuary dedication. 10 days. With hundreds of millions needed. The exchange rate at that time maybe to be in millions, in dollars. Hundreds of millions needed. Papa Yedeko is coming. Daddy Gio is coming. Pastor Kumuyi is coming. Everybody is coming. 10 days. And we needed hundreds of millions for this place to be ready. For dedication. They came from the accounts office. And they said, sir, this is what we are face to face with. We can't shift the date of the dedication. All of them have been informed already. What we have in our reserve account was in some millions. And that will not do 1/10. It won't scratch anything. So they say, what do we do? Should we pull that one out and start with it? I say, leave that one there. The reserve must remain. What will finish the work will come on its own. 10 days. It will come. There was so much rest that the reserve should not be scratched. The whole money came. Under ten days. All of it. With change. With the reserve untouched. Look at your neighbor and say, when you go to rest, God goes to work. So you are too tensed up. That's why God is not working so much. Hallelujah! Part of your lionization is to behave as if challenge does not exist. Is to act as if the devil is not alive, as if he's not awake. Is to behave deliberately. Is deliberately act like the devil amounts to nothing. Like he amounts to nothing. Like he amounts to nothing. I preached some time ago on the littleness of the devil. The littleness of the devil. He said, those who know you among the people
shall be astonished at you. Thou was a terror, and no more shall thou be. Can you locate that scripture for me? Believe that us. Isaiah chapter 18. As many as know you among the people, they shall be astonished at you. You were a terror before, but you cease to be a terror, and no more shall there be. Am I communicating at all? That was what Smith-Wigglesworth did when the devil came to his room, sat on his rocking chair, and was rocking the chair. And Smith-Wigglesworth came out of his bedroom, saw his devil with two horns, sitting on his rocking chair and rocking like this. And he looked and said, "Devil, are you the one? I thought it was something more important." And he hissed and returned back to the bedroom to sleep, leaving the frustrated devil sitting helplessly. And the devil couldn't follow him and go and kill him. That was how helpless that devil is. "As may all they that know you among the people shall be shocked at you, because you were once a terror, and never shall thou be anymore." Once you know the capability of the devil, he ceases to be a terror. Somebody say loud, "Amen." If I stop here this morning, it's enough. I need this restfulness. I need this confidence. I am too agitated. I'm too tensed up. I need this restfulness. I need this freedom. I'm too. When I stepped into an 8-hour service, to say 8 hours in His presence, how will it end? For where? That 8 hours will finish, and we are still looking for time to do things. And I don't need to calculate before I enter the service the thing that will happen. It will happen effortlessly. It's a restfulness. It's a restfulness. An assurance that says that you have a God who is with you and who is set to walk and move anytime. Just, I mean, having healing and deliverance service for donkey years. Maybe it's 20 years now. Every single Tuesday. And it continues forever. Miracle, signs, wonders every week. And no, people are not tired. And you're not wondering, "Okay, everything happened last week. What of this week?" Come and see. Are you ready for this prophetic word? I announce to you today, every trace of agitation, every trace of tension in your life dies now. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Every trace of pressure, every trace of tension, every trace of agitation, every trace of anxiousness, worry that has rendered you impotent, today they die. Today they die. Today they die. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. Several properties here and there. So want to buy this property. They say the owner said they can't sell it under no condition. So I tell our people, we will buy it. We don't have any permission from so-called owner. Nobody owns any land. The earth is the Lord's. Human beings are caretakers. They say, concerning so-and-so document, the authorities say, "Oh no, you cannot walk like this. This is not this particular kind of document. I said, "We will have it. We will." So they come back later and say, "It is done." I said, I said it will have it. I am not shocked, but I'm shocked that you are shocked. Not one, there are some we can't even mention.
One, the lawyer with his legal practice and legal experience said, this is not possible. I say it has been possible since. It is possible since. By the time everything was concluded, he wanted us to do something less than what we needed. I said, no, this is possible. By the time it was possibilized, it's like your profession failed you, your experience failed you. When we are talking faith, profession is nowhere to be found. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I speak to you today. I don't know what you are tensed up about right now. I don't know what you are agitated about right now. I don't know what is a concern to your life and your destiny right now. That concern is over. Take your seat. Let's go. Let me try and at least be able to finish up to a certain point. Lions are restful. It is the kind of rest that says nothing can go wrong. Everything is under control. Satan is just agitated for nothing. And that rest is key to great victories. But when God will walk, man will rest. The restlessness of man is a distraction to the workings of God. The restlessness, the agitation, the tension. Number five. Lions accept the responsibility of lifting and raising themselves. Lifting and raising up themselves. They accept the responsibility. Numbers 23 and in verse 24, he said, behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift himself up as a young lion. They accept the responsibility to take their lives up, take their destinies to the next level. Lions don't look for who to blame if they remain on the floor. Lions don't have excuse to give for remaining on the floor. If they must rise, they must raise themselves. Somebody say, if it is going to be, say it, if it is going to be, it's up to me. Say it again. If it is going to be, it is up to me. Lions are not looking for who will take them up, who will take their destinies up, who will take their vision up, who will take their lives up. They hold themselves responsible. They don't wait endlessly for who will help. They don't give excuse for why they can't go up. They don't look for whom to blame for inability to go up. Somebody say amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, I came here to tell you, you are the one you have been waiting for. Who have you been waiting for? You. Gideon said, if the Lord be with us, why are all these things befalling us? Where are the miracles which our father spoke to us about? We heard that there was a man called Moses, a man called Joshua, Where are those men today? Maybe if there was Moses alive today, maybe we wouldn't experience what we are experiencing now. Maybe if there was Joshua, he would have dealt with the Midianites like he dealt with the Amalekites. He thought God would say, okay, don't worry, let me go and look for him, Moses. Go and look for him, Joshua. God looked at him and said, you are the one you are waiting for. Go in this dynamite. The person you are waiting for is you. And the time you are waiting for is now. I want somebody to rise with an anger today. To rise with a sense of responsibility today. And to say, I am the one I am waiting for. And the time I am waiting for is here. I am not going to wait endlessly for anybody. I pity pastors who are looking for mentors that they thought is sponsor. I pity them. Say, since I entered ministry, nobody helped me. Go and ask those who started, who helped them. Nobody, I don't have anybody to help me. I have been on my own. So you are on your own, oh? Practically on your own. In case you didn't know, you are practically, totally on your own. On your own. O-Y-O. On your own. You must accept the responsibility to take your life and take your destiny and take your ministry and take your assignment to the next level. You may have external input, external influence, mentoral influence, fatherhood influence, but ultimately it is resting squarely on your shoulder to lift yourself up. Some of us that are location pastors always remember that there was a time that the headquarters had no headquarters. Till today, headquarters have no headquarters. Want to build headquarters? Want to buy land headquarters? Want to do this headquarters? There were times, even till tomorrow, where headquarters has no headquarters. Are you not the head of the location as a pastor? Everywhere the head is quartered is a headquarter. Did you hear what I just said? Are you not the head of the location? Whether it's a village church, whether it's a district church, whether it's a city church or a national church, if you are the head of that location, wherever the head is quartered, is a headquarter. Are you following what I'm saying? So people just live their life, abandon their lives, and they are waiting permanently, waiting permanently for help and waiting permanently for rescue. He said, the lion shall rouse himself. The lion shall lift himself. When it is time to stand up, he stands up. When it's time to make a move, he makes a move. He doesn't look for any external support, any external advice, any external assistance. Somebody say amen. Somebody say that, amen. Lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I shall rise myself. I shall stand myself up. I shall stand myself up. Oh, my shirt. If it is a goat, you can stand it. I say, go and eat. If it's some little livestock, stand, go and eat. Come and take off. But not the lion. He rises himself up. Takes charge. Begin to make strides. And that will lead us to the next one. And then we'll end there this morning. It stands up. It rises up. Am I coming? The best form of supervision is self-supervision. If you can't supervise yourself to do the right thing, if you can't make yourself do the thing you need to do, you don't have a future. You don't have a future. If you can't make yourself do what needs to be done per time. Somebody say aloud, amen. Let me tell you three things. about accepting responsibility. Three things. One, please sit down. The acceptance of responsibility is the establishment of authority. Show me a man, show me a woman who is established in authority. I will show you the person, the man, the woman who has accepted responsibility. Many times, when there is a need to give towards church project, we don't wait for who will give first. Empty accounts and push it. Then God sees you have taken the lead. He makes others to flow effortlessly. The acceptance of responsibility is the establishment of authority. Number two, the acceptance of responsibility is the guarantee of possibility. Nothing is possible until someone is responsible. It's a guarantee of possibility. You accept responsibility, then you embrace possibility. Finally, failure to accept responsibility is ending as a liability. When people fail to accept responsibility, they end as liabilities. You remember the man at the pool? He was a practical liability. John chapter 5 from verse 1. You saw the story of that man. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been in a long time in that case, he said unto him, will you be made whole? Simple question. The man said, I have no man. He has been waiting for men all his life and ended a liability. Jesus is said, who is talking of man? I'm talking to you. What do you want? And how badly do you want it? Say, there is no man. So it ended as a liability. Let me tell you, what you can do for yourself, it counts far more than what anybody can do for you. I love my wife, but can I pray for her? Can I quote scriptures for her? She traveled one day and had a confrontation, physical confrontation, from the kingdom of darkness in her body, in her system. I was not there. She was far away in Europe. That battle had to be fought without husband being there. Does that man want to be made whole? If he wanted to be made whole, what stopped him? The water was troubled. And before the next troubling of the water, he can roll himself. To the edge of the water and put one leg close to the water waiting for the troubling. I think he's living there. That place is his place of livelihood. So there's no challenge. Just be close to the edge of the pool. Nobody needs to jump. When the angel trouble you, just that, put your leg inside. But he will not do that. I have no man. Eh? Waiting for somebody. Today, I announce to you today, arise and move! 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 It is time to begin to do what you are waiting for someone to do for you. It's time to ask God, what do you want me to do? Instead of waiting aimlessly. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to accept responsibility. Today, I accept the responsibility to lift my life, to lift my destiny to the next level, to do what needs to be done. Church is not working as you wanted it to work. Engage in some very brutal exercises. Restless fastings and prayings. Restless studies of the word. Restless impartations and whatever needs to be. You don't watch things that are not working, waiting for them to work themselves. You are not seeing the kind of result you need to see on the crusade ground. Then what are you waiting for? You put pressure, you put pressure, you put pressure. In the realm of the spirit, you put pressure. Pressure, fasting pressure, prayer pressure, word pressure. You put pressure, you put pressure, you put pressure, you put pressure until you begin to see the things that must be seen. I told God some time ago, I said, I'm grateful that I have seen all manner of miracles. In the name of Jesus, blind eyes see. In the name of Jesus, deaf hear. Yeah. Last Sunday, about 40-something eyes, 50-something eyes were healed. Some were blind from birth. But I say, Lord, I want them to happen. I want them to start happening unprovoked. That is, you stepped in there and somebody stood from the wheelchair. You didn't. That is, unprovoked. That is unannounced. What happened to Peter on the street? And I've seen that before almost 14 years ago. But let it be, Inland Deliverance Service, remember. Let it now become the norm. By the time we said crusaders closed in Onisha, that was when miracles started. Say, praise the Lord, we have to close now. We are gone. All of a sudden, somebody stood from wheelchair. Somebody stood from here. Somebody lifted the crutch. Somebody paralyzed, brain dead, blind boy and crippled mother. I seen mother walking. All that after we say, let us go. And then he said, you said that you want to see things on their own. Pastor Paul Nwachukwu's son was there, Bishop Paul. He told me that the program started. We were there for another 30 minutes. And I was so shocked at Onisha people. I thought they would move. Not a person moved. We finished almost 10 something. And commanding the day is 11. Everybody stayed. Not one person shifted. Look at the mother. That's the child. Blinded. For 7 years seen. Mother. Crippled. Walking. That's the mother on the ground there. And she's pregnant. That was our own king. Crippled leg. Blind boy, crippled mother. Pregnant, crippled. This one had accident, almost brain. These were miracles happening. after we say it is time to close. Let's go. Let's share the grace. Then I heard shout. Something happened there. I heard another one. Something happened there. I heard another one. Don't watch things not working. Put pressure and walk them. Am I speaking to you? Don't watch things that are not working, waiting for them to walk themselves. Put pressure, pressure, pressure. He says the lion shall lift himself. He shall raise himself. He shall shift himself up. The lion shall raise himself. He's not waiting for things. He just raises himself. Raises himself. Take your seat and let me run. Today we saw that lions are restful. The confidence strides. And we saw that lions accept responsibility. And the final I will say today is, lions, once triggered for action, don't rest until the task is accomplished. Once triggered for action, they don't rest until the task is accomplished. They are restful. But when they rise up to pursue a task, that is the end of that rest. Until the task is accomplished. In Numbers 23 and in verse 24, be where we read, he said, he shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. Once he stands up and he's looking for a prey, he is not going to lie down until that objective is accomplished. The lion does not turn away for anything. He goes and gets it. Listen, the lions will not pursue objectives halfway. He does not pursue objectives halfway. We are talking about focus just now. He does not pursue objectives, worthy objectives, worthwhile objectives. He doesn't pursue objectives halfway. He doesn't know how to return empty-handed. He does not pursue objectives halfway. He does not know how to return back empty-handed. And the lion will not take no for an answer. No, it will not. This is what I mean. If the lion starts running after this antelope and he pursues, and that antelope happens to escape, that is not the end of his pursuit. He must find something to catch. He's not returning back empty-handed. By the way, he will ensure he catches this one. But if he doesn't catch it, the lion can't return back to the lion's pride and say, I caught nothing. No! Something must be caught. Something must be caught. Somebody say after me, say, I don't know how to take no for an answer. I don't know how to take no for an answer. We're in Lokoja for crusade. And before you can say praise the Lord, the first local job went, rain, heavy rain, heavy rain. The kind of rain that says, forget the crusade and go back home. Say, devil, you are a bastard. Inside this rain, you will be shocked. And he was shocked. Eyes that were blind were seeing inside the rain. Deaf ears were hearing inside the rain. Cripples were walking inside the rain. Devil, who lost now? The next day, it was overwhelmed. You don't take no for an answer. You don't return and failure was the conclusion. Am I speaking to somebody here? That was what Elisha did. When they said, do you know that God will take your master, Elijah, today? He said, I know it, hold your peace. Again, do you know that God will take your master today? I know it, hold your peace. Again, do you know that God will take your master today? I know it, hold your peace. And he made up his mind. All those sons of the prophets, he will return back to them. And return with what?
Because the worst thing that can happen to Elisha was to return and his hand was empty. Amen. And the sons of the prophets at Gilgal saw his hand, nothing. The ones at Bethel, nothing. The ones at Jericho, nothing. So it possible. Listen, when Elijah tore the Jordan and they passed over Jordan, Elisha knew that he would come back through this Jordan. But the person who tore the Jordan will not be with him. Meaning that the ability to tear the Jordan, he must acquire it. The journey is not over until he got what made Elijah tear the Jordan. Otherwise, how does he cross the Jordan? Otherwise, even if he crosses the Jordan, what will he tell the people who stood afar to watch? That is what I want you to tell yourself when you return back to Portugal and to Australia and to India and to Argentina and to Philippines. You are going to be returning with something in your hand. So that people will say, why did you travel all the way to Nigeria? You say, see the result. See the evidence. I carried something. I brought something. That is lionic behavior. You cannot be shut down. You cannot end your journey empty. And when Elijah said, when you see me when I am taken, what you ask shall be yours. He said, you've asked for a hard thing. He didn't say it's an impossible thing. It's possible but hard. There are things that are hard and you thought it was impossible. But he looked. My father, the chariot of Israel. He said, when you see me when I'm taken, it shall be yours. When he say my father, he means, I see you, I see you. You are moving with chariots, the chariot of Israel, with horsemen. And Elijah was going. But the desire in Elisha's heart pulled the mantle. I always say that Elijah did not drop a mantle. It fell. I don't know why he wanted to go with the mantle after the man served him faithfully. He picked the mantle that fell, not mantle that dropped. Not mantle that Elijah dropped. What was it that fell it? Magnetic desperation. 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 Drop the mantle. Is there anybody here today? My wife tells me, said, I don't know of anything you went for that you didn't get. I started my journey like an evangelist. I never knew I would be a pastor. That is, in my mind, in my passion, my heart is soul winning evangelism. Then all of a sudden, different things, pastoral mantle, apostolic mantle, evangelistic mantle, teaching mantle, prophetic mantle, worship, receiving of songs, all manner. All, they began to come layer after layer. As the desperation persisted. See, I don't know what you went for. People today, I don't know what you want out of this life. Catherine Kuhlman said, anything you want out of life is possible. It only depends on how badly you want it. How badly, how badly, how badly. Joseph dreamt a dream. They resisted him. He dreamt again. That is lionic behavior. You can't stop me. Look at the neighbor. Say, no devil can stop me. What I am going for in life. What I am going for in God. No devil can stop me. Say, it's what I am going for in life. What I am going for in God. No devil can stop me. He dreamt a dream. They resisted him. He dreamt a bigger one. That's what to do with the devil. That is lionic behavior.
Blind Bartimaeus.
Lionic behavior.
Thou son of David, have mercy on me.
They said he should keep quiet. In his heart he said, I should keep quiet because you are going to give me your eyes. Why are you telling me to keep quiet? Because will you give me your eyes? You have eyes to see. I want to see, and you say I should not speak out. Do you want to determine my destiny? If I should keep quiet, will you give me your eyes to see?
Then he shouted them all, thou son of David.
And Jesus stopped. That is lionic behavior. The capacity to roar. To place a demand on what you want. On what must be yours. And refusing to take no for an answer. That is lionic behavior. That was the behavior of David.
When he saw Goliath, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine
that he should defy the armies of the living God? His brother Eliab said, you naughty boy, what are you doing here? Do you think this is children's play? He looked at him and said, what have I not now done? Is there not a cause? Place on the screen. If you can't see reason, I see reason. If you don't see reason why Goliath must be pulled down, I see. He brushed him aside and went forward. Is somebody going to brush some devils aside? Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Many of us, we have not achieved so much with our lives because of a lot of abandoned pursuits. Many things are fanciful to you. You start it and then you stop. You start, you stop. You start, you stop. My wife told me, said, I see that when you start a thing, you don't need to be encouraged to pursue it. Many years ago, somebody said, after every food, try and brush. That is general teaching. So that the debris don't remain, and so on and so forth. Just brush after every eating. That is general dental kind of knowledge. Years ago. So that you don't leave the debris and have anything, and then so that there can be freshness all the time. From that day, is it 20 something years ago? I don't need to be advised. The moment I finish it, God, in the night, brush before you sleep. So my wife notices those kind of things. That if it is a particular habit, you just stick to it. Once you are told, that's the end. Stick to itiveness. Stick to it. Stick to itiveness. Just stick to it. Am I communicating at all? This is where there are many people today, there are many things you are hearing. But for the first time in your life, we are going to see you pursue something. Not just something. Something God wants you to pursue. Something that is the purpose of God. Something that is the agenda of God. The will and the plan of God. And you set out. If a million devils say you shouldn't accomplish it, say you are wasting your time. It's already accomplished. When 4 years ago God said, I am waiting for you in Jalingo. I'm waiting for you there. Terrorism was very high. Terrorism in that area. Terrible. It was a religious holiday of those people. Of that area. COVID. Was just trying to round off. And they say open air meetings were not allowed beyond 50. How many of you remember that? And the government lifted it. And once our publicity has gone out, they closed it back. And Lord, are we going? My wife said, are we going? I said, I'm not sure yet. Then I heard God, I am waiting for you there. 24 hours. I told my wife, I said, we are going. When we came to town, we saw a lot of things. And I said, what's going on? He said, it's because of terrorism. People were packed by the side. Everybody was afraid. It's terrorism. That has, since the terrorism, this was happening. But God said, I'm waiting for you there. Even the governor, that's the first thing the governor told us, to pray for them. He was telling us terrible stories of terrorism. If you didn't have the heart of a lion, you would turn back. Because the stories he was telling us, say recently they came somewhere, one of the places there, they overran the soldiers, overwhelmed them. He was telling us all those things as a visitor. But he was saying it from a heart of prayer for us. But I was hearing it from a heart of... That's the crusade. 5 years ago, five years ago, when God said, I am waiting for you there, there was no devil that could have stopped it. Many of us, we abandoned many things. Halfway, midway. What God said we should pursue, we didn't pursue. Because that lionization is not there. But I want you to come to that point when you say, you know what? Satan is me and you. I will outrun you. I will outrun you. I will outrun you. I will outrun you. And I'm not going to end my journeys empty-handed anymore. What God asked me to pursue, I will pursue. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and begin to pray right now. We are going to trust God for a lionic mantle. Open your heart, open your mouth, and begin to pray right now. Thank the Lord for His word to you this afternoon. Father, we worship you. Adonai, we adore you.